Many of you probably listen to Paul Harvey when he was on the radio every day for probably 50 or 60 years. He ended his radio program in his late 80s. When he was 80 years old, he signed a 10-year contract with ABC, and one of the rival networks said that when this contract's up, we'll get him for the next 10 years. But he was 90, but he didn't live quite that long, almost fulfilled that contract. And you know, the news he would give every day and the commentary he would give along with that, and also do the rest of the story, stories about parts of people's lives we weren't very aware of, famous people typically, and at the end, of course, would tell the big moment at the end, the rest of the story, the part that we would know. But in 1965, in one of his commentaries, he did a piece called If I Were the Devil. And it's stayed around a while. You may have heard him give that or have heard the recording since then. You may have read that speech, that commentary he gave that day in 1965. But it's eerie how prophetic it was. Because even now in the year 2016, what he said about being the devil back then could all be true today. These many years later. Some of it has to do with the country itself, about America, but it really has mostly to do with spirituality and how the devil does affect people's lives. And I just want to read it to you, it just takes a minute. Because I think it's so true, and if somebody were the devil today, what they would try to do to change people's hearts. He said, if I were the devil, I mean, if I were the prince of darkness, I would, of course, want to engulf the whole earth in darkness. I would have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I would not be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. So I should set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I would begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper, the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what is bad is good and what is good is square. In the ears of the young marrieds, I would whisper that work is debasing, that cocktail parties are good for you. I would caution them not to be extreme in religion and patriotism and moral conduct. And the old, I would teach to pray. I would teach them to say after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. If I were the devil, I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that everything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. And then, if I were the devil, I'd get organized. I'd infiltrate unions and urge more loafing and less work because idle hands usually work for me. I'd peddle narcotics for whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. And I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects but neglect to discipline emotions. Let those run wild. I would designate an atheist to front for me before the highest courts in the land, and I would get preachers to say, she's right. With flattery and promises of power, I could get the courts to rule what I construe as against God and in favor of pornography, and thus I would evict God from his courthouse, and then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress, and then in his own churches. I would substitute psychology for religion, and I would deify science, because that way men would become smart enough to create super weapons, but not wise enough to control them. If I were Satan, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg, and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I would take from those who have, and I would give to those who wanted, until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And then my police state would force everybody back to work. Then I can separate families, putting children in uniform, women in coal mines, and objectors in slave camps. In other words, if I were Satan, I'd just keep on doing what he's doing. So you can see some of the things there relative to 1965, what was going on at the time, but so many of the things relative to today. You've heard that, you may have heard that before, read that. And thinking about that, the temptation for every preacher, of course, is to delve deeper into that and think about that topic and what I would do if I were the devil. You may be thinking of things as well. What would you do if you were the devil to make the world more like the devil? What would you do to take God out of schoolhouses and courthouses and churches even? But I kind of thought the other way. Kind of thought about, well, what I would do if I were the Lord. You ever thought about that? I don't think it's blasphemous to say that. The Bible's very clear that we can't think like the Lord. His thoughts are his thoughts. His ways are his ways, Isaiah says. We can't ever be like the Lord. Satan knew that. That was the first temptation. He told Eve, well, you can be like the Lord if you just eat this fruit. But of course, that never happened. So for us to speculate about what it would be like to be the Lord, and if we had the power of the Lord, what we would do. Sort of an interesting exercise, and as you go about that, or if you've ever thought about that, you've probably come to a conclusion very quickly that what you would do is the opposite of what God did. And you're a Christian. When I started thinking about that question, what would I do if I were the Lord? It seems like everything that I thought of was the exact opposite of what God did. Again, you're thinking, well, how can that be? How can Christian people who know the Bible instantly think about doing the opposite of what God did, or wanting to do the opposite of what God did? But it's true. I don't think that's just true of me. I think it would be true of all of us when you really start thinking about it. I just want to think about four things tonight that I would do if I were the Lord, and I think there are things that you may have thought of, or you may have wanted God to be this way, but you realize that he's not. First off this evening, I think if I were the Lord, I would want bad people punished immediately. If I were the Lord, if I had the power over the earth, if I was the sovereign ruler of all of the universe, all of universes, I think that when somebody did something bad, I would want them punished immediately because I had the power to do that. Every time someone lied, every time somebody cheated on their spouse, every time somebody stole something, every time somebody was abused, whatever the case may be, when I saw that happening, I think I would want to stop it and punish that person immediately. I think I'm a lot like the apostles in that regard. The apostles kind of had that thought many times. One particular instance, Jesus was traveling from Galilee down to Judea, and he had to go through the towns of the Samaritans, and the Samaritans didn't receive him. Samaritans didn't want him around, which was the case with the Samaritans and the Jews, of course. And so the apostles became enraged by this, and they suggested, why don't we call down fire from heaven and consume these people? Why don't we just kill them all if they're not going to treat you right? So the apostles thought like this. This person is doing the wrong thing. These people are doing the wrong thing. And we want them punished immediately. Let's kill these people even. Now these were apostles saying this. These were people who witnessed miracles. These were people who knew Jesus. And even they said, let's call down fire and kill these people because they did something wrong. You see, but that's not how God operates. That's the opposite of what God would have done. See, I think all of us have that instinct in us. I think all of us at times wish that somebody would be punished immediately for what they did that was wrong and sinful. We don't want patience with somebody. We don't want to allow time for somebody to mature. We don't want to allow time for somebody to study the Bible. We don't want to take the time to help somebody change their life and do what's right. We don't want to do that. We'd rather just have them punished immediately. But Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And the very next verse he said, "For the Son of Man did not come to this world to condemn the world, but to save it." So in other words, when Jesus came to this earth, he had all the power in the world to condemn everyone, to punish everyone immediately. He could have come to this world and had judgment day on day one and said, "It's time for everyone to be punished as they should be. I am here to bring judgment. This whole world is sinful," Romans 5:8. "God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So when the whole world was sinning. And if Jesus were like us, he would have come to this world and on day one condemned us all. But God is more gracious than me. God is more gracious than you. When we have the idea that punishment should come immediately. So if I were the Lord, I think I would want bad people to be punished on the spot. And that doesn't happen because I'm not God. The second thing this evening to think about, if I were the Lord, if I had the ability of God the Father, you know, I think I would continue to speak directly to people. That's the second thing I would do. I would continue to speak directly to people. You go all the way back to the beginning, you see God speaking to Adam, you see God speaking to Cain after he kills Abel. You see God speaking directly to the patriarchs, and that communication seemed to be going well, and all of a sudden you get all the way to Joseph, and he doesn't speak to Joseph. And it doesn't say why. God just decides he's not going to communicate with man like that anymore. And at that point, he begins to speak through prophets. We see that, of course, he did speak to Moses. We see the Lord speak to Paul and others. And here and there, there was some direct communication. But overall, the plan was, now I'm going to talk through prophets. And so he would speak to a prophet who would then give the message to the people. Jeremiah, "I want you to go speak to the people." "No, I'm too young, I can't do it." "Jonah, you need to go to Nineveh." "No, those people are too bad, I don't want to preach to them." "Moses, you need to go save my people." "I want you to go do it." "No, I don't speak well." A lot of the people that God wanted to use didn't want to be used. And so if I were the Lord, I would just say, "Look, I'm not going to use people. They don't want to do it anyway. I'm just going to continue to speak directly to people. When I want them to do something, I'm just going to tell them." I think I'd want to do that. But that's not what God did. We have first direct communication, then Moses brings the law, then we have the prophets, and then Jesus comes to earth, the Son of God, fully divine, and speaks to people. And then Jesus says, "These men are going to be my credentialed ambassadors. They're going to have special ability to prove they are my ambassadors, and you're going to listen to them because they're going to be guided by the Holy Spirit to both teach and to record God's word." And now we have God's word speaking to us. God's communication to man has changed time and time and time again. He because that's the way he wanted to communicate. Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrew writer tells us this, after verse 1, chapter 1. After God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, the Christian age, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. God wanted to speak to the people now through Christ. If there was something more that needed to be said, God would tell us. That's what Paul wrote. He wrote to the Galatians. He says, if an angel comes down from heaven and says something different than what you heard from us, let it be accursed. There's only one gospel. There's only one message. There's nothing else to be said. There's no more communication. There's not going to be another revelation. There's not going to be another New Testament. There's not going to be another covenant. This is it. Till the Lord comes again, the gospel plan has been completed. So there's no need for God to continue speaking to people because we have God's Word. You remember the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man goes to condemnation and he sees Abraham and that big gap, the chasm that separated the two. And he says, look, we can't cross over from where you are to where we are and so forth. And remember what the rich man said. He said, go back and tell my brothers about this situation so they don't end up here with me. What did Abraham say in return for that? He didn't say, God's going to tell you. He says, you have Moses and the prophets. Or they have Moses and the prophets. In other words, God gave them what they needed. You had what you needed. But you didn't want to listen. You just lived for yourself. God's not going to keep talking to people and telling them more and more and more to do, because he loves us all the same. He's not a respecter of persons. So if I were the Lord, I want bad people punished immediately, but God is more gracious than I am. If I'm the Lord, I would continue just to speak directly to people and tell them to do what's right. But God is much wiser than I am. Third, if I was the Lord, I think I would tell people when they were going to die. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought, if you had the power to know when someone was going to die, the day they were born even, somehow communicate to that person, here's the day in which you will leave this earth. Act accordingly. Everything else we have in this life, everything else we're going to consume or use has an expiration date. And boy, we are we heed that expiration date. I am very particular about the expiration date on milk. And that, particularly milk. You ever have a bad experience with that, you only do that once. You'll only be careless in that one time. But we're very careful about expiration dates. We think about warranties. We think about the end of things if we get to know the end of things. We pay attention. This is how long I'm going to have it. This is how long I can use this. Beyond that, I'm in trouble. So I think it would only be fair. Human beings are very concerned with fairness. I think it would only be fair to tell people when they're going to die. But we live in this time where we don't know. The Bible tells us about the brevity of life, how short life is, but never tells us when we're each going to die. And it always confounds us, it surprises us. No matter how many times we look at the obituary and see the ages ranging from single digits to people in their 90s or even over 100 and everything in between, we still are quite surprised when some pass away. And so we think that's not fair. We need to know. We need to have that expiration date clearly stated somewhere. But that's not the way it is. I would want that to be the case. Maybe you've thought about that. You want that to be the case. That way I can get everything in order, say everything I need to say, live like I'm supposed to live, but God is smarter than all of us. God knows everybody. He created the world and created us to live in it. And it seems like, when you study the Bible, that God doesn't think that if we knew the day that we were going to leave this earth and all of a sudden we would live right. It seems like, as you study the history of man and you study what the Bible says, that God said, God was thinking, if I tell them when they're going to leave this earth, they're going to live wrong throughout their days. And right up until the time that that date comes, right at that moment or within a few days of that, then they'll say, oh yes, I believe the Lord and I'm going to do what's right for these final few moments. I don't think people would live right. I think people would live wrong if they knew when this world was going to end or when their life was going to end. So the Lord doesn't tell us. He just says life is brief. And life must be spent, every day of life must be spent in obedience to the Lord. And that way someone will live a life of faith. And a life of faith produces more lives of faith as they show Jesus in their life to others around them. If I were the Lord, I would want bad people punished immediately. I would want to keep talking directly to people. I want to tell people when they're going to die. I think that's just fair. But again, God is more gracious than I am. God is wiser than I am. God understands human beings better than I do. The last thing, the fourth thing tonight, if I were the Lord, I would tell people when I'm coming back. I think I want to tell people when I'm coming back. It kind of goes with the last thing we talked about. But we know that at just the right time Jesus was born. Galatians 4:4 tells us that in the fullness of time, or just the right time, Jesus was born of a woman, born under the law. And Jesus said only the Father knows when he's coming back. So if he came into the world at just the right time, I assume he's going to come back to this world at just the right time. The Father sent him to this world the first time at the right moment. Will send him back to reclaim us, not all the way to earth, but back to reclaim us at just the right time. The Bible says that we're not going to know that day. It will not be announced prior to. We won't have a week's notice. We won't have time to adjust, knowing that the Lord is coming back, just like we won't have time to adjust knowing the day in which we'll die. It won't be like a hurricane in the Atlantic making its way from Africa across the ocean, where our radar says, next week it's going to make landfall. 3 days from now, it's coming, here it comes, you better get all your things and make adjustments. God said it's not going to be like that. He simply said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman and child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be sober and alert. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. He says, look, you know. He said, I assume that you already know this. I'm not telling you new information here. That the day of the Lord, which is a phrase in the Bible for judgment day, the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief. It's going to come unexpectedly. He said, you already know that. He said, so you need to live like people who are ready, who are of the day. Your eyes are wide open. He compared it to being the difference of being drunk and being sober. The drunk person isn't aware of the surroundings. He's sleeping. He's not alert. He said, you need to be alert because of what you know. You know he's going to come like a thief. Be ready. He said, everybody else is going to be saying, peace and safety. In other words, everything's great. Everything's fine. I'm not worried about a thing. He said, then destruction is going to come on them. Because they won't be alert, because they won't be ready. We have to live like people of the day, with their eyes open, like sober people. And that is a way that converts people. You live like that. You live like the Apostle Paul that says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's a life that has meaning. That's a life that has purpose. That's a prepared life. As has been said many times, you've heard the phrase that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. We all need to be ready. We all need to be alert. We all need to be sober. That's the best way to live, to not know when the Lord is coming back. I would want to tell people when the Lord was coming out. If I were the Lord, I'd say, here's the day that I'm coming. Get ready. I'm on my way. Because we do that in life. That's fairness. Again, we human beings, we love fairness. You're going to somebody's house. You're going to go meet somebody. You're making an appointment. What do you say? We always say, I'm on my way. Here's when I'm going to be there. Not the Lord. I'm not going to tell you. So every day of every life that's lived has to be prepared for the Lord. You see, bad people are not punished immediately because God is more gracious than I am. Remember what the Bible says. God is not slow about His promise. Some count slowness, but is patient toward all. Not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. I would want to speak directly to people, but God said there's not anything else to be said. I would want to know the day that I was going to die, but God says, you know, people wouldn't live the way they're supposed to live if they knew that. I would want to tell people when I was coming back, but God said, no. They're not going to know. What they are going to know is that life is short, that every day is precious, and every day we live for the Lord is one more day that our home in heaven is secure. One more person may be converted. Isaiah was right in that prophecy. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I am not the Lord. And you are not the Lord. And that's good. It's exactly the way God wants it. So you have this evening, if you're not a Christian, to go to Him. God wants all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants every person on this earth to be saved. He wants you to be saved. If you're the only person on earth, Jesus would have still died on the cross. So tonight, if you need to come to the Lord and put on Christ in baptism and have your sins washed away, we'll baptize you tonight. If you need prayers, we can also pray with you and encourage you in that way. Whatever it is, please come while we stand and sing.
Come to Jesus, He will save you, though your sins as crimson glow. He will make it white as snow.
Christ's name. Amen.